Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, during Sprague here. Hope you got a little espresso in your system or whatever gets you going. Happy Friday, everybody. Durton Sprague on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. 1080 AM. We are on YouTube today.
We are.
Look at that.
Well done.
Brandon Henson, everybody.
Got the job done. TC being over there.
Oh, my gosh.
Just lucky today, guys. That might change next week.
Well, it's like golf. Better to be lucky than good. We got a lot to get to today. It's a loaded second hour. Catch us on the YouTubes as well. The poll question is up. We have Tom Dundon cheap nicknames that we posted. Let me see if I can find it. We got Tommy Two Nickels. These are the options here. Tightwad Tom, Scrooge McDundon, Tommy Two Cheap.
I have officially voted. I've cast my vote.
Did you?
It was not easy.
It's
those
a
are
tough
all
one.
Great options.
Yep.
My favorite is Scrooge McDundon. Scrooge McDundon got my vote.
Somebody sent us the Tommy Pickles GIF and said, Tommy Nichols? Yeah. I'll tell you why, and I'll share that with you sometime here in the second hour. Before we get going on the Blazers and the Spurs series, got a couple stats for you, and then we'll talk about it. Want to remind you to join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes are on sale now between the morning and afternoon rounds, so hurry up. They fill up fast. We'll be at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. It's the sixth hole on the course. We'll all be hanging out at the Fan on that one, heckling and admiring your tee shots, and we'll all get Matt's Barbecue. Brandon, I hope you're able to come out there this year because Matt's Barbecue, their brisket.
Oh, phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
I'm a sucker for barbecue.
Dude, that sounds the brisket
amazing.
Is so juicy. You can head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. And the Fan Golf Classic is presented by Toyota. It's also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. So we got our Blazers-Spurs series. It's going to tip off this weekend on a Sunday.
Sunday night, 6 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to it. I think I have a nice casual Sunday ahead of me. And
yeah.
I think a 6 o'clock wind down. Hopefully dinner's kind of already been eaten at that point.
And yes, it's perfect. Kind of wind down. You're only cleaning dishes, but you can do it at halftime if you need to, right? Like, you're good to go.
I'm aiming to have everything done. Like,
ooh,
I'm
dinner, dishes, everything done for the weekend. Sit down, watch Moops.
Go upstairs, make whoopee with the wife, go to sleep. Like, that's the Sunday plans. Keep your fingers crossed, everybody. We all need it.
Do we still call it whoopee?
I want to bring it back.
Whoopee should be brought back.
You know, it sounds...
What are you doing? Make him whoopee.
Yeah, it sounds like forbidden and cool at the same time.
Are whoopee cushions still a thing?
I don't think they're
Do kids thing. Still do whoopee cushions?
I think they're at $1.50 stores now.
I feel like if I got Teddy Ballgame a whoopee cushion, he would think that's the coolest thing of all time.
Well, he's your son, so he'd love farts. Yes, I think you're accurate on that. Yeah.
I might do this. I got a weekend idea now. I got to go find myself a whoopee
Test
cushion.
Test the theory.
Yeah, I think I'm onto something here.
You should do it to him first. Just see
Oh, have
reaction.
Him sit not knowing what he's sitting on. He might freak out at first, he but might. As long as I'm laughing, I think I'll get a chuckle out of him.
So Blazers Spurs, 6 o'clock on Sunday. Looking forward to this one. I saw this one from Kirk Goldsberry, who was on the Zach Lowe podcast.
Yes, what did he say?
Every team in the NBA, every team. So take the worst team, the best team.
Yes.
Every team's effective field goal percentage is between 52 and 58.
Got it.
Okay? Those are all the combined percentages that shoot. There's your percentage. Okay? Every team. When Victor Wembanyama's on the court, the opposing team shoots 50. So quite literally,
below.
When Victor Wembanyama plays defense, your offense is worse than the Nets.
That's why he should be Defensive Player of the Year.
No, he is.
He's
I mean, that's
7'4" and he patrols the floor like a 7'4", like no other 7'4" player ever has.
You can make an argument. It's tough to compare positions and players, certainly. And I will hear all arguments, but
yeah,
I mean, Dirt, we could just make an argument. Let's take the Hideout. It's probably the greatest defensive player in our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
In our lifetime.
It's not enough big enough sample size probably yet for people, but just when you watch him, he can do things because of his athletic ability and his size that nobody else has ever been able to do in the NBA.
He hasn't even won a DPOY yet, and I'm like,
no.
He's the best defender.
Like, there's guys who can block shots or can be good rebounders. That's fine, but he also has enough length and quickness to be able to not be a sieve.
To get switched.
Away from the hoop and just be a horrible... Like, that's been a problem for Rudy Gobert for years, where we know how good of a rim protector he is, but if you bring him out of the paint, it's like, dude, he's on ice skates out there and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And so I go back to, on that note, I mean, that's an incredible stat that shows the impact that he has when he's on the floor.
Dude, worse than the Nets is
wild,
a mind-blowing thing to hear, because the Nets, I don't know if you know,
are really bad at basketball.
Trotted out like six rookies to run their
I remember when we
rotations.
Played in Brooklyn and thinking to myself, I don't know any of these guys.
Wolf, Michigan and, guy, that's it.
I'm a radio host and I can't name you any of these players. They it goes back to, though, I remember we talked about this with Denny going into the play-in game, about how many times will he get to the foul line. Like, I was just curious to see what the change would be in his game, if at all, because we know that's a focal point of his.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to the free throw line. Now, he had a great night shooting the ball. He did get to the free throw line, but it was a byproduct of a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just take that same conversation and then you switch it and pivot it to, how is he going to be finishing around the rim? Because that's unquestionably the strength of his offensive game.
Yeah.
Is going downhill and getting to the hoop against a team who has maybe the best rim protector, if not the best, in the entire NBA.
Yes.
And Cornette, who is also a very serviceable big who can be a good defender in the paint as well. And it just, that to me is one of the more interesting parts of this matchup in this series, is can Denny still be as effective as he has been at moments in this season when you have Wemby that's out there for 40 minutes a night patrolling the paint?
So I was trying to go through last night, and I want to make sure I counted this right. He has not... I don't believe, yeah. Oh, okay. He fouled out. I went through it because you have to get him in foul trouble, right?
That's your biggest hope.
He fouled out one time this year, and it was at the Lakers, and he has about five foul games the rest of the year. He averages 2.4 fouls per game.
When he played 65 games on the dot, right?
Here's a fun stat for you. Let me give this one to you because I also saw this and I started laughing. He averages 3.6 blocks per game. He averages 2.4 fouls per game.
So more blocks than fouls per game.
Insane.
That's nuts.
Insane.
Because usually we see bigs, like even the best of bigs, Shaq used to routinely, I feel like, get into foul trouble. And he'd be like, oh, right. Shaq's in foul trouble.
Right. Klingon dealt with this a lot last year in his first year in the league,
yes.
Where you're like, you're always in foul. Because you're just fouling guys going to the hoop and you don't really know how to move and position and do the things you need to do.
So, like, we know a lot of this is going to be about Denny for Portland, like on the Portland side of it. Certainly.
Yeah.
That's not breaking news to anybody. When we talk about this matchup, this series, and I'm much more of a react than preview guy personally. I just like to see stuff and... We can all give our thoughts going into it. It is an easy, easy conversation for me. It is far more about anybody else than it is Denny.
Yeah.
Denny might get bottled up. Denny might be below on his averages on the season. If I tell you that, none of you out there are surprised by it, right? The Spurs focus in and say, we limit Denny Avdia and he doesn't shoot 10-plus free throws per game.
Yeah.
We'll be in great shape to win this series quickly. I know what Jrue Holiday's going to give me. That I know. Is Tamani going to continue to shoot the ball well? I didn't think he played on offense particularly well against Phoenix.
No, but he was good defensively.
And he was great defensively, but he has a little bit of the, he's in a little bit of foul trouble here. If Tamani gets in foul trouble, because I would imagine you're having Tamani Kamara guard Victor Wembanyama.
I would tend to think so.
You're not putting Donovan Clingan on him.
No, I would tend to think Tamani's got to be your guy there.
I think Jeremy's going to see time on him, Tamani, and I think they're going to put Drew on it once in a while.
Yeah, the Clingan matchup in this series is very interesting to me because he, on the other end of the floor, if you're going to have Wemby who's focusing on Denny coming downhill and attacking the hoop, and he's going to want to protect that and not let him finish around the rim, you would imagine, again, unless they're switching and just having different guys guard different guys,
mm-hmm.
that Klingon's going to be left open a lot, and he's going to have to knock down some threes. Like, I see San Antonio saying, Klingon, if you want to beat us from the three-point line, you can. We're going to sag off you because Denny's coming downhill the entire game. And if that's going to be the case, Klingon's going to have a good series shooting the basketball. When you go back and look to the Kamara stuff, if he's going to guard Wemby, we talk about this with Wemby on the other side with the fouls per game. He's only fouled out once.
I think he has to guard Wemby.
He has to. He has to stay out of foul trouble.
No doubt.
Has to. When they blew leads late or they would lose games late, like Kamara getting into foul trouble.
The Denver game.
And not playing at the end was a big part of them losing. Like, Kamara has to be smart. He had a couple late in the Phoenix game. Because it started to tick up a little bit. He didn't foul out of the game, but there was one late that was just like, why? That one. That was a kind of dumb foul. Mm-hmm. He just has to be really smart. There's going to be times when there's nothing you could do about it, or Wemby gets in your kitchen and you end up getting whistled for it. Like, that'll happen throughout the course of the game. Don't do anything dumb in terms of just reaching in randomly in the backcourt and getting a foul that's not necessary.
Yeah, I think the matchups and how they're going to play everybody, and I still worry, even if Donovan's not guarding Wemby, which I... Once in a while, you'll get like a random down low matchup just because of the way that they're, you know, setting their actions. But for the most part, I'd imagine you're having a Tamani. When Donovan is on him, you know Wemby's probably going to attack, knowing he can bait him into an easy foul. Because what does Donovan like to do? He likes to block shots.
Get him up in the air. Boom. There you go.
What did Wemby do this summer? He went and worked with Hakeem Olajuwon. Like,
damn it, Hakeem.
Yeah, the dream out there just giving
bastard.
Away all the tips, man.
Stop it.
And so, like, the footwork is going to be stellar, and how quickly is he going to get Donovan Kling, excuse me, into foul trouble? And those are things I worry about. The Denny stuff, like, it's so easy, I think, for teams to go one of two ways here, right? It's either, oh, let the star do it, we'll shut everybody else down, or shut the star down.
Let everybody else beat you.
Yeah, let's see if Tamani Kamara can beat us.
Right.
Is Shaedon Sharpe going to average 22 points per game because he shoots the ball really well?
Last time they were in San Antonio, Scoot had a pretty good game.
If I was to ask you guys, okay, we all on this show, we've been watching the Blazers all year. If I was to ask you guys, somebody in San Antonio asks you, what would you tell a coach, just as a fan, as somebody watching games, what is the key to you? Because if I was asked, hey, what would you say about this? I'd say, slow down, Denny. You win the game.
Without it.
Other way around.
Especially when you're in San Antonio. I think there's a fear, and maybe this isn't rational or there's actually not numbers behind it to back it up. There's the idea of role guys on a home floor in a playoff game getting hot. Not that it's never happened on the road.
No, but we've certainly seen it in the playoffs.
But my fear would be bigger in Portland of all these other guys getting hot and the crowd gets into it and Kamara's 7 of 9 from three and here comes Kling and Scoot's having a great game.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to that building sounding like a jet engine saying, we're gonna cut off your main pipeline. And then say, go ahead, Scoot Henderson. We'll leave you open from three all night if you can make shots.
Yeah.
Like, that would absolutely be my philosophy if I were San Antonio.
Like, I thought Matisse had this moment. I think it was either the second or the third quarter of the Phoenix game, right? Matisse Thybulle's come back. He's playing good defense. He's okay on offense. Not amazing, but he has his moments, right?
Yeah.
Because of the threat he can have, he had a pump fake moment. Dude bit on it. Got right past him, drew a foul. And I remember saying to myself, watching on the couch, I'm letting him shoot. Why am I going for an up fake on Matisse Thybulle?
Go ahead, buddy.
Now you're putting us, they've got dominoes on you, right? They've got the advantage. They can move the ball around and find the open man.
Yeah.
And that's what I wonder. You know, if Orlando loses tonight in the play-in against Charlotte, do you know we are the worst three-point shooting team in the playoffs? Like, of all the teams.
It's not good.
Do you know who the next closest team is? The Sixers.
Yeah.
So, like...
not a strength of ours.
You average, I think I want to say on the season, Portland averages the fourth most three-point attempts. Yeah, they average the fourth most three-point attempts of all the teams in the league. The teams above them are the Celtics, the Hornets, and the Warriors. So you might have two playoff teams there. But for me, when you look at the averages... if you can just put an extra couple bodies, take away the right driving lane of Denny, I'm sitting there all day if I'm San Antonio.
Fire away, guys.
If Jeremy Grant's going to have a 35-point night,
right?
All right. If Drew Holiday's going to be 6 of 8 from 3, if Shaedon Sharpe's going to be 5 of 8 from 3, like, I'm just living with that more than I think the way the team operates is Denny drive, Denny get free throws, Denny feel good, Denny score ball. But if Denny can't do that, it feels like there's just, well, I don't know why I do that to him, but when he drives, I just have like this caveman.
That's what's happening in his head.
Denny score ball.
Denny's going to take it to the
Denny dominates you, bitch.
Here comes Turbo.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm Turbo. Yeah. I just kind of have that. But if he doesn't, I would just tell any other on the other side, like, if he's taken out, all right, are the others going to get it going? And it's not a real confidence factor, I think, on the Portland side of that being the winning recipe.
Well, and then you also have the Denver game where they made a franchise record in threes and they still found a way to lose.
They still lost.
Even in games late in the year where they've shot the ball really well.
You know why they also lost?
They found a way to win.
Denver has one of those unicorns. You know who else has a unicorn?
Yes.
San Antonio.
You scored a ton of points. You just couldn't get stops when you needed to. And I think the thought of missing a bunch of threes, especially early in the game, like this game to me is a big first half game where, like, if you're down, I don't see you fighting your way back into it, especially on the road.
Okay.
But if you come out and you shoot the ball poor and you're giving up long rebounds and the crowd's into it and that kind of tidal wave comes over you a little bit, then my pucker factor would be high of, uh-oh, this thing could get out of hand in a hurry. Like, we talked to our buddy Minix yesterday in San Antonio. They are not threatened at all by Portland. They think this is going to be a four-game coronation.
I did a hit on his
first
show,
round. Yeah.
And it was basically like he introed me in. You know, Brandon, we know the series isn't going to go long. Yeah. You like bacon on your burger? And I just like, oh.
Oh, okay, we're doing that, huh?
Keep sleeping on us, Minix.
I don't want to be Dave Softy Mahler, but you've kind of teed me up to be Dave Softy Mahler.
I have to be. I think the first half and the start of this game is really important. Like, you find yourself down by 15 in the second quarter, and you're not shooting the ball well. Are you digging out of that hole against San Antonio?
They're one
with Wemby on the other side. Like, you got to get off to a good start.
Yeah, I'd like to look this up of leads blown this year. That's a tough stat to find. Like, where San Antonio ranks on it.
Sure, in terms of having a double-digit lead that they let slip away.
Yeah, like,
and I mean, though they lost 20 games all year, how many of them were games where they had a big lead?
To me, it's not even about, like, you winning the game if you come back from a 15 to 20. It's like, how many of those games did they lose?
Right.
Because that could be you see it all the time in the NBA. We just saw it in the Phoenix game. We had a 24-4 run.
Yeah, it went both ways.
Instantly followed up and concluding with an 18-5 run.
Portland had a double-digit lead, then Phoenix had a double-digit lead, and then we came back and won the game.
So because of the way basketball is played now, these runs are crazy and insane, and you're like, well, that's it. And then you go on that same run right after it. So
I think the difference, though, in this case is they have a unicorn.
Yeah.
And when you have a unicorn, that just becomes far more challenging.
No doubt.
Because when their offense hits a rough patch, what do you do?
Right.
Give it to him and get out of the way. How are you going to stop him?
We've also seen our offense be a bit of a struggle bus.
It goes in lulls.
It has its
lulls.
There's
a couple of lineups that they can use that there's just not a lot of firepower offensively, and they better be very good defensively.
Where are you guys at on the series? As it's a Friday. It's a fast break Friday. Feeling good. We at least got playoff basketball to watch and get ready for this weekend, so I'm excited about it. You can chime in at 503-864-6326. We got more on this, and we'll get to on the other side. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan. A funny follow-up from our conversation earlier in the first hour of, you know, does your wife lose things, like the phone specifically? I think all three of us experience our wives lose their phones quite often. And it's usually, like, right next to where my wife is. And I'm like, it was right there.
Yeah, it was right.
It's on your nightstand.
It's right there. I'm going to find this in 30 seconds. Are you really done searching? Because I promise you, this is not going to take me very long.
So,
if you want my help, I'm going to make fun of you.
I'll just say this. A coworker texted us because I don't want him to die.
No.
And I will not name him.
Anonymous sources are telling us.
Dude, I will not say Dusty's name. And I will just say that his wife heard us talking about this and, like, scoffed at it. And then he said
on.
She walked out the door without her phone.
We don't lose our phones, which is red flag number one of if you're scoffing at the conversation, it means there's a little internal guilt. You know that you do it too.
I also, the only reason I say that on the air is because she very well could counter to him and say, I ran hood to coast with him in the van. I can't tell you how many times Brandon lost stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I was asking people all day, you guys see my shoes? You guys seen my headphones? That was me in the Hood to Coast van the entire time.
I feel like that's a strength of mine. I don't ever really lose anything.
I lose way too much stuff.
I always put my things in the right spots. I know where they're at whenever I need it. Very, very rarely will I get a situation where I'm in a panic.
Mine is hats. You'd think I have a hat rack in my closet.
How do you lose hats?
Because what happens is I get home, I'll end up taking a nap. take it off, lay down on a couch.
Right.
I have multiple couches, right? Or I go upstairs. I just, yeah. And then now stuff is piled on it.
Yeah. The
and like
pillows
2 weeks
on
later,
top.
Oh,
like,
that's where that hat was.
I was looking for that one,
that's
man.
Right. I remember that nap. So the Blazers and Spurs will tip off on Sunday. And whether they have a chance or not, I know some fans out there think they can push this, make this a real series. And the reason is because experience. Spurs haven't gone through this.
Yeah.
No.
The majority of our team hasn't either, but, you know.
Yeah.
We got a couple of guys who have.
Do you take in big games outside of the NBA into consideration for you're not worried about certain players, or do you separate the NBA playoffs from let's use two players in this that were teammates? Stephon Castle, Donovan Klingon.
Yes.
What did they do together?
National championship.
Playing on a basketball court in a football stadium with...
It's a pretty big game.
Millions of eyeballs watching you. That's pretty high-stakes, pressure-packed yeah. basketball. Victor Wembanyama, what he did over there in France before he came over. He played in the gold medal game. And
right.
Steph Curry, LeBron, Kevin Durant.
In his home country, Olympics. By the way.
In his home country.
Right.
So, like, do you put stock into that? Or do you say, no, this is different. Like, this league is the league of leagues. And it's one thing to do it there. It's another to get on this stage
yeah.
when you haven't done it before, being on NBC at 6 o'clock.
It's funny. I think there is truth to both sides of the argument, where it's a different animal because in a gold medal situation, right, it's one game. I know the tournament, it's single elimination, so it's a different kind of animal. A seven-game series is just a different beast because you're playing the same team over and over again. They're going to find matchup advantages that they like. We're going to find things that we like or weaknesses that they have, and you mm-hmm. start attacking them, and can you make adjustments? And so it's a bit of a different animal, and it's hard to compare to other, you know, whether it's the Olympics with round robin play and then into the medal round or an NCAA tournament, which is certainly a ton of pressure because every game is an elimination game. I think it has to count for something. I don't know, maybe this is an OKC thing from a year ago, and I'm not trying to act like they didn't have any playoff experience 2 years ago, but 2 years ago, they barely had a cup of coffee. They were the one seed. They lost in the second round of the playoffs. They won one playoff series, and then they were bounced in round number two. And this, I remember, was a narrative, and I even used it at times of like, yeah, I got to see you do it, right? Like, I haven't seen you climb up the mountain that far. You didn't even get to the conference finals. And what did OKC do last year?
They won it.
And how many guys did they have with a deep, legitimate, long resume of a playoff appearances? It's a bunch of young cats who had only been there basically one time, and they got bounced in the second round of the playoffs. And so there are some guys with playoff experience on their roster. I also chuckle at the notion of it being a massive advantage because outside of Drew Holiday.
My Jeremy.
Yeah.
Drew, Jeremy, we looked that up.
Jeremy haven't played a game in April in 6 years. So
well,
I get that he's
know,
been there
he's
before,
had
but
enough of the
I'm
games.
Not going to act like he's going through it year in and year out. That was the first time he'd played a game in April in a Blazer jersey. He's
yeah,
been here since before COVID.
It's not like he came
I
in
know.
And is like, oh, I've never been on this stage. You gave us the stat yesterday.
I know. I'm just saying, I think it's a little overblown in terms of an advantage for Portland. Because outside of Drew Holiday,
oh, I don't know if it's
title,
an advantage for Portland. Right, I'm not saying it is.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying some Blazer fans are going down that road of liking us in the early in the series because San Antonio isn't quite sure what to expect and all that. When a huge chunk, Denny Avdia's never been in a legitimate playoff series.
No.
Kamara's never been in a playoff series. Mm-hmm. Shaden, who, by the way, had the highest plus minus off the bench, has never been in a playoff series.
Yeah, Scoot, Shaden, all
Scoot and all of them. So Robert Williams, Drew Holiday, you want to give me Jeremy Grant in the past?
Yeah.
By all means, do it.
But they also have Cornette, Fox.
Right, guys who haven't won titles necessarily,
Barnes.
But they've been Barnes has
yeah.
won a championship. Like they've.
I think Vassell was at the... They're playing stuff before they kind of like hit the skids before Wimby.
So that's the only thing. I just, you know,
you don't think the experience thing is any
I don't think
part
it matters
of the series.
At all. I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that matters is they have a unicorn and can we do anything about that unicorn? If the unicorn plays to the unicorn levels, I just don't see the pathway forward. But as we've seen with other stars in bigger moments, LeBron got shut down by J.J. Barea, and I would have never thought that was going to happen. So I guess you never say never.
It can happen. Also to the Thunder point, like, I also don't want to memory hole that series. They very well could have won that series against the Mavs. Luka just hit
yeah,
them
it was
big
just crazy.
Moments with Kyrie, right. And they got over that hump.
Well, you can play it vice versa, too. They very easily could have lost to Denver in the second round last year, and they very easily
yes.
could have lost to Indiana in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, no doubt
Both
about it.
Both of those were seven-game series.
No doubt about it. I just think the beauty of the league is if you think San Antonio is the massive favorite, which all the numbers say that they are, like this is a minus, you know, 13, 1,200, whatever it is in Vegas. If that's your feeling... Run with it.
Yeah.
But I think the way the league is structured, you can debate if they have enough talent to add two more teams, and that's certainly fair. I would argue, do they have two more ownership groups that will actually be competent, or will they get idiots? Because the league's problem to me isn't talent. The league's problem is operations. They have too many bad owners in front offices that don't know what the hell they're doing. See the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, you're just stuck in the same spot forever.
So, like, to me, it's about how much deeper the league feels and whether you have a chance or you have zero chance. The Blazers got the talent on roster to make some, foolish or not, think that they can hang. They can make this a legit series. Winning it is one thing. Keeping it around for a feisty-ass five games or six
In order for it to actually be a series for me, you got to get to six. A gentleman sweep to me is not a series.
But we could look back if they lose. Let's say they lose in five. We could look back and say, well, game one came down to the clutch time. Like, if you just get to 5 minutes
depends
and you're
within. Depends on how it looks in the picture. I get that.
Yeah, you could have a lot of clutch time losses, and we can say,
man, a shot here, a shot there, you could have won that game.
Really good performance, way to fight. You didn't lose. You didn't win it, but you had no chance because that team was that team. But in clutch time, if the Blazers could just get themselves to clutch time, that's all you're asking for, I think, in the series in general.
That's a fair point. It doesn't. If you're competitive in all the games and there's not blow, like the spread's tonight 10.5. Do you cover the number or not tonight? Sorry,
You keep thinking of three.
Keep thinking it's tonight. Damn it! So the spread on Sunday is 10.5. Covering the number is a competitive game. Not covering the number is a double digit loss.
They lose by less than 10. You're going to go, dude.
Yeah, all right.
Unless it's like super big backdoor Wimby.
Right. You're down by 20 the entire time, and somebody randomly gets hot off the bench, and they backdoor your way into a 10-point loss, and you cover the 10.5.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think other than that, competitive is getting to six games in the series.
Yep.
You do that, that's a success for me. I'm not asking you to win it. I'm not telling you that's the expectation.
Certainly.
You've already achieved whatever goals you had at the start of the year was to take a step, get into the playoffs, won the play-in. So.
Yep.
Progress has been made. You're playing with house money. If you get it to six, that's a massive win in this series.
Something I heard yesterday that kind of scared me. I'll tell you what that is. We'll get into the Blazers series a little bit more, probably in the final hour of the radio program.
We got to spray the line today.
We got to spray the line?
NBA playoff edition. I think we need to.
I like it. I did it while you were out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the stuff.
I can't remember what the stuff was, but we had stuff.
We got stuff this weekend.
And I was like, let's do the stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
So spray the line sponsors are welcome at 503-864-6326. We're back with more. An all-time banger right here.
Bring them back, man. We need team songs again.
I agree. We need team songs and team dances.
We get them from, like, random fans. Like, we had our Colts guy. Remember our Colts guy last year?
Yeah, I don't want fans.
These are
stuff,
our
though.
Colts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
These
is
are
our
dream.
Team.
Yeah. All that stuff, yeah.
I'm okay with I need something. Give me something.
I like when the... So, like, there was a moment in the Jailblazer doc that I love, and I think Trailblazin' made it a shirt, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It's when they went to the Christmas tree lot and Scotty's famously drinking what is obviously a alcohol-based hot chocolate with the little straw because he showed up and recedes in the big jacket.
Yes.
I need that more in my life.
Yes.
I need more like...
Agree.
You guys are going to be billionaires, all of you. You're going to make $500 million. Your lives are different in a way that we can never comprehend.
Yeah, God forbid you check out of a hotel early.
But I need you guys to be a little more human. I need you at events. I need a shuffle. Give me a Blazer shuffle.
A Blazer shuffle going into the postseason. If we win game one, give me a shuffle, Portland.
Now, it's a delicate line that I'm asking you to be on here of I need a team dance shuffle song, but I do not need Donovan Klingon doing the biggest new 13-year-old TikTok dance trend. There's a line here.
Yeah.
And one will cross over into... Dude, the 12-year-old girls are doing that. I don't need your rendition of this versus, hey, let's have a stupid rap where I'm giving you some bars, but they're terrible, but we also love it.
I feel like the 7th Floor crew killed team songs.
Mm.
Do you remember the 7th Floor crew?
Is that the dads of the Padres?
No. No, much different.
Because that, I think, killed
a lot. We can't say any of it on the air, nor can we play any of it on the air. If you have never heard it.
Who was it?
It was
Did I miss something?
It was one of the Miami football teams circa the middle of their dynasty, the Larry Coker era, and they came out with a song. Greg Olsen's in it, and I don't know how it doesn't get brought up more often.
Is it a blackface Greg Olsen moment? Did he drop a word?
Just go listen to it, and you'll understand.
Well,
that's all I'll say.
Tease.
And I'm pretty sure after that one, it was like, we're not letting anybody do this anymore.
So, like, an unspoken, we're not letting anybody do this
basically
anymore.
Yeah.
Ah.
He doesn't do anything racial. There's no blackface, but there's a lot of, it's very sexual references. They lived on the seventh floor of their apartment complex, and it
gotcha.
Was.
Gotcha. Yeah. Say less.
You get the picture.
It's drop-off time at school.
Yes.
Let's say less. Give me the, can I get a headband jam?
We used to play that in our locker room before football games, thinking it was like, this is the fun, this is so cool, man. When we were 18 years old.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Kids are idiots. That's what I'll tell you.
So we brought up at the very end of the show yesterday, old Tommy Two Nickels.
Yes.
Tommy Two Cheap. Scrooge McDundon. Got a poll question on that, by the way. What's the best nickname for Tom Dundon being cheap? It's not the four best options per se. It's four delightful ones. And we've gotten a lot others as the show has gone on.
Just put them in a rotation. Don't even pick one.
Just keep doing.
Just say all four of them at once.
I like that. I like having a rotation to nicknames. That's good. So we brought it up. Mannix had wrote that sources with the organization said on the Phoenix trip he made certain staffers check out early because he didn't want to pay late fees, right? And that's a bad look. And
not the team. It was staffers.
Like secondary staffers, like right. Photographers or
social media coordinators or whatever.
Casey will know?
Did
he get an early checkout?
Text Casey. We need
no,
to know.
No, I'm not going to do that to him.
Did you have to
but
check out early?
It's, you know, it's people on the organization had to check out early. And that became a story. Well, then you've heard between 2 weeks ago and now, like Tim McMahon, like national NBA podcast people. And I know Danny has brought it up. The scuttlebutt is that he is offering $1 million to be an NBA head coach. And people are like, dude, you're insane. Elite assistants making $1 million, not the head coach.
Tiago, I think, is just shy of $1 million. And that was his salary coming into the year that they obviously did not change as an interim head coach.
And so the reputation of Tommy Two Nickels is catching on. And I'm not like scared of it in the way that it was teed up by other people, but I'm like keeping an eye and hovering over. Are you going to scare away some players? It's something to think about of like, if you're going to stay in Sheboygan instead of, you know, fill in the blank major metropolitan city.
Sure.
I'm going to have a problem with that.
I guess I would ask, what does scaring away players look like to you?
Well, we're already not a destination that black players want to openly sign with. So you got to trade players. Are they going to want to stay long term?
Okay. If we can offer them more money than other teams with their bird rights, I think the answer will still be yes.
Right. But what
if we can give them a max extension because they make all NBA?
But what if we bust to Seattle? Yes. What if we bust to Sacramento?
We used to drive yellow Hummers to Seattle, and we did bust to Seattle.
Well, that was that was a different league, though. Different time, different league. Just saying.
I understand.
They're flying private to Seattle when the Sonics are back.
Yes. I certainly don't want to downplay the idea of, I understand the fears. I totally get it. You want to have an owner who can afford everything and have every penny in their pocket.
But where are you being cheap versus where you can be cheap? Are two different things to me, and I just want to know, is he going to get it sorted out?
Does it actually impact the basketball team? Like, I'm sorry, I have a really hard time caring that a social media staffer was forced to check out of their hotel room an hour early. Like, that doesn't impact me at all.
It's not, you know, it's not about
it doesn't
it
impact the team.
It it's about the story just being out there now.
I don't
and
care about
the coaching stories out there.
Does it impact winning and losing?
Well, so far, they're borderline done defeated.
They're borderline playing better basketball since he took over.
Now, does
and
he have
staying
to do with
in
that?
Different hotels? No, he doesn't have anything to do with
no,
it.
No, he doesn't.
So that's the only thing. Like, when it gets to the point of having an owner who Denny Avdija very likely is going to make all NBA this offseason.
Well, he's right there on the border.
He's right now. The Luka and Cade thing maybe
changed
it a little bit, but
yeah.
He's in the conversation.
Yes.
If he makes all NBA, what does that do for his next contract?
Well, I don't know this for fact, but when you make All-NBA, it can change the way
the percentage
the amount
you can
of money
earn,
you can
right?
make.
And the cap of what you can make on a per-year basis goes up.
Right.
The scary cheap part is Tom Dundon saying, oh, we can't afford that. That's when the cheapness hurts me.
Oh, if you can't do that, then you need to sell the team.
Right. That's when it becomes a fear.
Like, that's when we have the
checking out early of a hotel, it's, I don't know.
Offering $1 million for an NBA head coach, if that's...
Sure.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
We don't know how that's going to play out.
I know, and I'm allowing that grace. But all I'm saying here, man, is not that you're not right. It's just simply keep an eye on this.
Yeah,
it's becoming
okay
storylines with a lot of people in and out of our market. That's all I'm saying.
There's no doubt about it.
And yesterday, I did a hit in San Antonio with our friend Jason Mannix. And at the back end, we were talking about the organization and the way they've built and Joe Cronin. And they asked about Tiago. And they're like, Tiago got that job now, right? And I go, I don't know. I think he might have a leg up, but I don't know what he's going to get paid. And then I told them what we've been hearing. The co-host for Mannix, do you know what he does in his spare time? He used to be the play-by-play guy on the Alliance Football League San Antonio team. Guess who met Tom Dundon and knows Tom Dundon?
Well, he shut down the league.
Well, that guy. And he brought Tom Dundon up, and he goes, oh, I know Tom well. I was the play-by-play guy for the San Antonio Commanders for the Alliance Football League. Tom Dundon bought it, and within 2 weeks, he shut it down without explaining anything to anybody. Like, nobody saw it coming, bought it, done. Finito. And I go, because they were trying to kind of get me off of the interview, mm-hmm. and I go, I know we're against it. I know how the clock works, boys. What happened there? Because I had just heard that story. What happened? And he goes, oh, I'll tell you what happened. He met everybody at the league. He absolutely lied to their faces through his teeth. He talked about what he wanted to do with the league and how he wanted to grow the league and what he was going to do with the league and how this was going to change and this was going to get better. And within 2 weeks, he identified the betting angle of the organization. And I forget what else it was. It was some analytics-based thing, I think. But it was the betting stuff and another thing. And he basically found that he was going to make more money on those than he was the league. And so he basically concluded, it's over, stripped it down, kept those two things, entire league canceled 2 weeks after buying. He goes, he's a snake. Don't trust a single thing he says to anybody. And I went, thanks for this. Great information. Thank you. I appreciate it. You're making me feel better out here.
Yeah, look, I understand why you would have that feeling if you're a broadcaster for the Alliance Football League. I also, it's the Alliance Football League.
You're not wrong, but it's like, damn, another thing? And oh my God, it's look, even worse.
I chuckle at some of this stuff because a lot of the people complaining about it never complained about the previous ownership being absentee and Bert Cold calling all the shots, and now all of a sudden ownership is a concern. I also, we have an example of him owning a professional sports team.
But it's a, yeah.
I know, it's not the same.
Like the money is so much
I
different.
Grant yeah, you that. Yeah. It also was different to buy it. The revenues are different. How much you generate is yep. different. Like, all of that no is doubt. Different. What did he do when he bought the Hurricanes? He was pretty cheap in a lot of decisions he made.
Yeah.
Has he ever been cheap when putting together a roster and a team? No.
I don't know.
They've been one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference the entire time he has owned them.
Yeah.
So I get
and
it.
He paid market value for his head coach.
Yes, he did.
Brendan Moore, who
and
he didn't
not,
want.
He's not trading away players to not re-sign them. Right. He's giving them contract extensions. So he fired their TV guy. He was one of the best TV guys in the sport. And Hurricane fans were livid about it. You know what they're not livid about? Having the best record in the Eastern Conference right now.
I hear you.
I just, the Alliance Football League thing, I've seen that brought up before and I laugh my ass off.
I just happened to talk to a guy involved. Yeah. I was just passing along a note. I don't know why you're yelling at me here. I'm not Tommy Two Nichols. Stop yelling at me.
When it impacts winning and losing on the floor, I'll be right there with everybody else.
Now, some would say...
Until then, check your ass out of the hotel room on time so I don't have to pay my late fee, okay?
Some would say I am the Tom Dundon of the radio station, though.
You think you're the cheapest one here?
I think my reputation probably sets it up that way. I don't think I am anymore, but I also don't know who I would say is.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of cheapies out there.
Danny gets Uber food every day. He buys new cars. Like, he travels. Like, I mean,
Patrick's got a golden parachute, baby. That guy's living
Patrick
large.
Lives in a, you
he's
know.
He's got a 10-bedroom mansion.
He's got a, yeah, just a.
He's the richest one of all of us.
Yeah. You got, you know.
Rob's living in San Diego half the year.
Right.
Sicanic travels the world
Sicanic's
constantly.
Sicanic's in Bali half the year.
Yeah. It's probably you and me,
Brandon
bud.
Just came from L.A. He's big balling up here now. Casey lives in Lake Oswego.
Yeah, he's got that Lake O money.
You're like, oh, I'm Portland born Brit. You're in Selwood, dude. And you try to be cool by calling it Selhood.
The mean streets,
the
man.
The mean streets. Not you a lot have a of master's people, flag on your house.
Not a lot of people make it out of Selwood.
Yeah, they sure don't, do they? Phil Knight, line two.
He's from Eastmoreland, but the point remains.
That's your cutoff. Yes, Selwood. Much tougher to grow up in.
We ain't those ritzy folks over in Eastmoreland, all right? Those rich farts.
So, yeah, I think probably people would pick me.
Yeah, you're probably still it by
default.
People
would pick me.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Random Tom Dundon information just being shared. Sharing it with the people, okay? We're way against it. 7:49. We're back. We got a loaded third hour, fourth hour as well. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan. We'll get some college football, I think, in the third hour of the radio program. We'll pause. We got other NBA playoff matchups to get into. One team looking to win a series for the first time in a long time.
A lot of thoughts coming in about old cheap Tom Dundon, old Scrooge McDundon.
Yeah, I'm not. I hope the conversation is. It's coming across of like, I'm totally acknowledging that I'm more on Dirt's side of, I'm going to wait and see before giving any conclusions to literally anything. I'm just noting that, like,
it's, I have no problem raising the concerns.
Very noisy.
Yeah, no issue.
National, local, and, you know, I'm meeting random people in San Antonio, Texas that have experience with the dude, and it's not great. And also, by the way, he's looking for us to fund entirely the renovation of the Moda Center. And
yeah,
so
that's a different can of worms that I totally get.
There's a lot wrapped into it is right. All I'm highlighting by bringing that up.
The unfortunate part of the arena stuff is that the NBA and Dundon have all the leverage. We need the Blazers more than the NBA, and the Blazers need us. And as long as that's the case, there's nothing that you can really do about it. And I just, you know, part of the reason that I downplay it a hair, and maybe I'm downplaying it too much, like, I acknowledge that. Like, if this becomes a growing thing and it actually implicates into or turns into players not, you know, demanding trades because we're staying in, like, different hotels.
If it, like, comes out that he doesn't give Denny the super max,
by all means,
comes,
dude,
short,
that's
of
a five alarm fire. Like,
because Denny was
screwed.
Denny's camp will leak that. They, yes, like, he's not offering the super max that he can.
Then it's, by all means, this, yeah, is a disaster.
No doubt.
And we need to go pick it outside the Moda Center.
I think we're fair that way. If it, yes, happens and it impacts the basketball of it,
right?
Yeah, dude, we'll bring it up and address it. But now it's just a lot of sharing of, right, tidbits and newsy little things.
You and I don't remember who was the head coach at OKC before. Is it Dagnall? Is that how you say his
name? Wasn't it Billy Donovan?
Well, I thought it was, but I didn't want to.
Yeah, I think it was Billy Donovan.
And Billy Donovan was a fairly high-paid NBA head coach.
I don't know what he was paid while at OKC. The tough thing is they don't share
exact details,
the coach
of it,
information.
Sure.
The average coach, like a standard contract. Tiago, if Tiago's the guy, everybody would probably tell you on average, Tiago should be getting $4 million a year.
Yes, that's kind of the base level of the averages that you see around the league. And so maybe we don't know also what he's going to end up paying. So that's part of the reserve that I have there. But I just use OKC as an example. They're a small market team. They're a one-show town. Mm-hmm. They have, what is their owner known as?
Well, he doesn't have a lot of money.
Doesn't have a lot
of
money.
But he does have partners that have money.
Sure, without a doubt. Yeah. And Dundon now has partners, and I don't know how that's going to, you know, maybe there's more that come into the fold. They,
right,
got 18% more that they got to finish out buying and all that, right? So we'll see how it changes in the years to come.
Yeah.
They had a head coach who they got out of the college ranks to come in, and I'm assuming you paid him well in order to get him to leave the college ranks to come to the NBA.
Yeah.
They fired him, and they did what? They went with a G League head coach who I'm sure did not cost them very much money.
No doubt.
Who nobody had ever heard of before, and it's, mm-hmm, like, you just hired a guy from the G League? What the hell? Now, they loved him internally. Turned out great.
Yep.
They also were known as a cheap owner who didn't, you know, this guy's not going to be breaking the bank for anything. And the first time he hit on his players, and they were all for
extensions.
They have all gotten the extensions. Yeah. And so it's just a reality in that league of, like, you're going to be cheap in certain areas if you don't have as much money as Steve Ballmer. We're not building a $4 billion arena with every penny coming out of the pockets of the owner, but I don't think it's ever going to impact the roster you put on the floor and the players that you have on your team.
I'm certainly hoping it doesn't. Now, that being said, it's a wait-and-see thing.
Yep.
We didn't get to what I wanted to get to because we had a Diet Johnson here.
Yeah, shorty.
I don't even think it's a segment, but why do you have a bat boy on your team, your favorite baseball team, that wants to fight the other team? I don't know if I've ever seen a bat boy.
Here's what I will say.
Flexing at an opposing team after a hit by pitch.
Yeah, we got into a little tussle.
Walk to first, a bat boy kind of puffing the chest like, oh, I dare you. I dare you.
I mean, if you were a bat boy, wouldn't you want to do that? Because you know there's probably not actually going to be a fight. Wouldn't you want to kind of throw yourself in? But I'll also add this.
No, I think you look like a huge douchebag.
The bat boys don't travel with the team. It's not our bat boy.
He's in a Giant uniform.
Yeah, I know. They work
Who
in Cincinnati.
He?
You bring a uniform for the bat boy.
Oh.
They don't. You don't travel. They're like kid. They're like high school kids.
So we have a Cincinnati kid.
That's why it was
taking
funny.
On the full on San Francisco.
I had a buddy who lived in
Red.
I had a buddy who lived in Denver. Big Dave Runberg, who used to work in the Rockies opponent clubhouse.
Yeah,
and you're there. You work for the team when they're in town.
Yeah,
and then they leave town, and then you work for the
Did
other
he
team.
Become
when they
become defensive
team.
Of the other team.
I don't know.
Like against the
I think it was
city?
Just a kid that was like, "What the hell? The series is over. This probably isn't going to go anywhere. Let's kind of jump around a little bit on the field." Also, my team, I could not be more embarrassed by their antics yesterday.
Okay.
They got dominated in the series and then finally won a game and then ran their mouths at the end of it. Like, shut up.
It's funny how much you hate your baseball team and we're 20 games
Dude,
into the year.
If you sweep a team and the other team's running their mouth at
sure,
you and they drill a guy,
know.
By all means, go
know.
At them. But in that case, they won the series, man.
All right, well, we're way over it. So let's get to the third hour. We got a loaded third hour of the radio program. We'll get to a Sprague line in the fourth hour, 503-864-6326. We'll dive back into the Blazers in the final hour as well. Dirt and Sprague Hour 3 on the Fan Sports Network.